All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me where my suit is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't start
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How's it going?
I want to die.
You want to die?
Nah, just...
That's terrible.
It's a very busy time, sir.
It's a busy time in both of our lives.
Why? You're just having a baby.
Yeah, that's kind of busy, you know.
Oh,
yeah, you know, whatever. No biggie.
Just a baby. You don't even got to do any other work.
Oh, sure. No, nothing.
What do you got to do? Driver there?
Plenty of stuff I have to do.
Hold her hand?
I have to do all the work leading up to said drive.
Do you? Really? Do you got to carry it around for 9 months?
No, I mean like all the physical work around the house.
I don't think I want to hear any more of you disparaging your wife.
I am not disparaging my wife. She is a trooper. Fell down last week.
Nice.
Got back up. Kept on ticking.
That'll teach her to mouth off.
That's right.
Those, horrendous.
Those stairs showed her who was boss.
Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 225. We're calling it fraud because there's some fraud in the news. There's a fraud in the news.
There is some fraud in the news.
And we'll get to that, of course, right after we start the show with this.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Oh, fraud. You named it, so we might as well
might
talk
about it.
Might
as well lead off with it.
The geek community, the comic community, the convention community has banded together with pitchforks and torches.
At long last, we should say.
Yeah, yes. They have somehow they have put their geeky backbiting aside for a minute.
And
the Trekkies aren't beating up the Browncoats, aren't beating up the Lord of the Rings fans.
It's Trekkies and Whovians.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. Anyway, the point being is, The community has banded together with a common enemy.
And they have supported the brand new sheriff of the comics community, Mark Wade.
Right, and his deputy?
Deputy Ethan Van Sciver.
Yes. Yeah.
Who approached one Rob Granito, right?
Right. So,
is that his name?
Yes. At what convention was that this weekend? It was in Florida, right?
Was it MegaCon?
Was it MegaCon? Yeah, I think it was MegaCon. So for those of you who have not been following this story.
Right.
Rob Granito is a man of questionable actions.
Questionable ethics.
And artistic ability.
Yes.
This is a gentleman.
Now, we've actually met this cat. You know that.
Have we met him
before? Oh, yes. We've absolutely met him.
In the bowels
of Artist Alley in other shows. I'm reasonably sure he was at New York Comic Con.
When I saw his picture online, I was like, I'm pretty positive I've talked to this guy before.
And of course, you can check out Rob's picture over at our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you can check out a photo gallery for this and all of our episodes and check out everything else we have going on over there. If you're listening to us on an iPod, iPad, iTouch, iTunes, iPhone, or QuickTime, you can see some of the related images pop up right as we're talking about them. Some related images to the content that we're presenting. And that's a technology we enjoy promoting here.
Absolutely. Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
Go on.
So Rob Granito is an artist, and I'm using the air quotes when I say artist, who is just pretty much ripping people. Is that where we're just ripping people off?
Yeah, and the most notable
and selling it to rubes.
Right. The most notable, I say, the most notable examples are the Calvin and Hobbes pieces that he has pretty much taken the image, flipped the image,
right,
changed some minor details about the image, and brushed the ends of the image so that it looks slightly different than Bill Waterston's work and sold it as original work.
And he's also taken photos
of
himself doing these things as a means of proving work in progress.
Yes.
Now, I'd like to go back a second and retract a statement. I really shouldn't have said these are rubes that are buying these things because I feel bad for the people that don't
know.
Well,
you should. Are you one of the rubes OG is referring to? Give our GVM line a call.
425-920, don't buy Granito's work.
Right. No? 425-920-6050.
That's right.
If you're one of the rubes that OG mentioned and you'd like to tell OG what kind of rube he is.
So the community,
I can't believe that
whole,
you would refer to these people as rubes.
I retracted it immediately. I realized
they were scammed.
They were scammed.
Scammed.
They were scammed. And all I'm saying is,
you've been scammed.
Look, I know a prince in South Africa.
Really?
And all
trying to get
wants,
his money. This is not the same thing.
To wire him. No, I
that
know it's
is
not,
the, not the same
listen,
thing,
I know
sir.
It's not the same thing. I do. No, legitimately, I do feel bad for the people who unknowingly
got called rubes.
No, bought work from this guy thinking he was legitimate. I mean, he's copied Al Rio's work I've seen. I'm trying to think of
a bunch of people. He's also
photographs too.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that one girl where she had like self-portrait and he like just put some makeup on her eyes, some like blush on her cheeks?
Yeah.
Acid Pop Tart or something. I don't remember her name. I apologize if you're listening. But anyway, the community has really banded together.
Oh yeah.
To just oust this guy. And then of course, how we started off this segment at the top of the show, Mark Wade and Ethan Van Sciver at MegaCon this past weekend approached his table and verbally lambasted him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's my understanding that Mr. Granito has been banned.
Yes.
Many conventions
as of
going
today,
forward.
I believe he's been banned from all Wizard World shows.
Okay.
That's the only one I've heard for sure. WonderCon is not, I think it, we think it was WonderCon. Have you confirmed
no,
that?
No, it was MegaCon.
This Mega, was it
WonderCon?
MegaCon
is the one that's coming up
San
Francisco.
Up? Oh, okay. So one, so
I believe
MegaCon,
it was MegaCon.
MegaCon. You might want to just double check that. But I'm suspecting that the same is true for MegaCon. But what Mark Wade said was, that he will call every convention promoter in the country, and he says that he nor his friends will ever appear at a convention that allows this guy to sell work there.
Right.
Or to, I guess, appear in any way there.
Sure. I mean, this guy's been a guy who's been in Artist Alley for
years
now.
Oh, yeah. Quite a while.
Hawking his wares. And
he's now claimed that he did the Calvin and Hobbes stamp.
Right.
For the U.S. government.
Right. Well, that the Bill Waterston piece that we're talking about earlier, he's claiming that
there's two.
All right. Well, the one with the two of them in the tree.
Yeah.
That's clearly the mirror image.
Right.
I believe he was claiming that was the image on the stamp.
Right.
And that is the original.
Right.
And a print of that work. He's also claimed that he ripped off not Tim Sale. Who's the guy that pretty much did Bruce Timm, the Batman animated series? He claimed that he worked for Warner Brothers Animated.
Yes.
Who was the fake name he made up that no one seems to know? Didilio?
No, that's from DC. He's supposed to be working on a Batman book with a great DC writer, Jay Didilio.
That nobody knows.
That doesn't exist. Right. The closest thing is Dan Didio.
Correct.
And nobody at DC knows what he's talking about. No one at Warner Brothers Animation knows who he is or what he's talking about.
And he claims that he's a ghost artist? Is that the technical?
So
yeah. He's the guy that goes in and does filler pages, that kind of work. When the artist can't or just to fill in.
Yeah, he claims
bulk out the
he
book.
Claims to have done a number of covers for DC over the years, and some pretty recognizable stuff, Shadow of the Bat covers, I think,
yeah.
And some other things. He's claimed
a lot of
to have done a lot of things, which pretty much all of which have been debunked at this point. So here's my position on this, OG. I want him on the show.
Okay.
I want him on the show.
All right.
Let him, you know, let him come on the show and explain himself to the masses.
Let
him come on.
We've opened up this show
uh-huh.
to people in the past
yeah.
to explain themselves.
Right.
And they've never taken us up on those.
No, that's not true. So,
but one person I'm thinking of,
yeah,
in
no,
particular,
Jesse
has
Falcon
never taken
has
us
never
up
taken,
on that offer.
Yeah, he's never taken us up on that offer. It's so passe at this point, and he's such just a non-issue,
right?
That why would he at this point?
But oh, sure.
This is absolutely an opportunity. And if anybody out there knows Rob Granito or knows how we can reach him, you know, drop us an email over at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's
Make
right.
sure you open that email with "Hey Kev."
If you don't want Rob Granito to be on the show,
and
that's how you would address it.
And if you have any contact with this guy, we would love to have this guy on, and we will give him the forum. No one else will to say his piece. Now, if he presents himself as a fraud to me, and I can call him out on it, I'll call him out on it. And everybody here knows that I'll do it because I've done it to people in the past.
Sure.
I did an interview with a woman. I'm not going to mention her name here. I did an interview with a woman who I pretty much said, you know, why does anyone like you? Why are you the person that you are? And she had no answer.
Right.
So, just saying.
So, there it is.
Yep.
Can we move on?
Sure.
All right. Amy Adams.
Uh-huh.
Lois Lane.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice, I have to say.
You know, it's a surprising choice.
Okay.
If you were to ask me 2 weeks ago or a week ago, who I thought would slide into that role, I don't think that Amy Adams would have been on my radar.
I know.
That being said,
yes,
I don't disagree with the casting choice. I think she's proven herself to be a very versatile actor.
Right.
Certainly, if you've seen The Fighter, I mean, that's, you know,
oh, yeah,
different
certainly.
Than almost everything else she's ever done.
Uh-huh.
I think she can handle that role. I think she probably would be a good counterpart to Henry Cavill. Is that the dude's name?
Yeah,
Superman?
Cavill.
Seville. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that casting.
I would have liked, there was another girl who I had in mind who was in, that girl who's in The Notebook. Now, don't come down on me hard because
she was in the one that was also in Sherlock Holmes, that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, her.
Rachel McAdams.
Yes. She was the one I was thinking would probably be really, really good for that role.
Okay.
But I'll take Amy Adams over Rachel McAdams, I guess. Well, I mean, from a personal standpoint, I think Rachel McAdams would have probably been a better choice.
All right.
That's just me.
Three Stooges.
Uh-huh.
Now, you saw this story before I did.
So I
you
did.
You can kick this off, and yeah. I'll come in with the filler.
Yeah, it's the Farrelly brothers directing Correct. A movie. What we don't know at this point is whether this is a biopic
right.
or whether this is a lousy attempt to do a Three Stooges movie with people who aren't the Three Stooges. Now, they've done a couple of these in the past, sort of. They did. I don't know if it's a Laurel and Hardy movie with a different Laurel and Hardy, or whether it was I don't think it was a Three Stooges movie. Was it Marx Brothers? No, it wasn't Marx Brothers. I can't remember. One of those comedy teams or troops. They actually did one and replaced the actors. I want to say not too long ago. I just can't remember for the life of me which one it is. But the point of this is we don't know whether this is a biopic or whether this is a Three Stooges movie where they've recast the Stooges from, you know, Mo Howard, Larry Fine, and Curly, whichever one of the Curlies you like, or Shemp.
Or Shemp, right.
We don't know the answer to that yet. What we do know is that Curly has been cast, and the casting, I think, is really, really good.
It is, and it I dare say it's perfect.
Yeah, and is it Will Sasso?
Will Sasso.
And he is one of the two sons on Shit My Dad Says.
Yeah, he was on Mad TV for a really yeah. long time, too.
And he's now on that Shatner show. He's really terrific on it. If you've never seen it, he's really, really funny on the show. And he has been cast as Curly. I think it's great casting. I'm dying to see who they get for the other two now. And the rumor is that they were looking at Benicio del Toro for Mo. I hope to God that's not true.
No, that's actually what I had. There are actually two new front runners
okay.
for Mo and Larry. So obviously, for those of you who aren't front runners, does not mean cast as, just means people most likely to be or
right.
people being considered.
Right.
Hank Azaria as Mo and James Marsden as Larry. Are the two
James
names
Marsden
that are being floated out there.
I think Hank Azaria, dare I say, might be too old and too tall.
Okay. I'll give you too tall.
That's number one. Number two, Marsden is like 15 years old. I mean, he's very, very young.
He looks very young.
And I think lined up with those two guys, I think he looks too young. Plus, this is unless of course it's a biopic. If it's a biopic, there could be any angle to this.
Sure.
You know, there was a lot of, a lot of backstory stuff that, you know, some people may know, other people may not.
They live controversial lives.
Yeah, there's some controversy there. So there, you know, there could be, yeah, okay. I mean, that I accept it in the sense that we don't know what the pick is yet. If this is a full-on Three Stooges movie where it's, you know, these guys playing the Three Stooges, that would be problematic having James Marsden in there, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just me.
American Gods. Have yeah. you read this book?
Yeah, I read the book, and I can't for the life of me see how they're going to make this into a movie.
Well, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing that that the film rights have been sold and acquired, and that they hope to go into production on a film adaptation of American Gods. Now, American Gods, for those of you who don't know, Neil Gaiman book.
Big-ass Neil Gaiman book.
Very kind of heady.
Yeah.
Which a lot of Neil Gaiman's, I think a lot of Neil Gaiman's writings, he tends to make you think.
Right. It's also a tad bit too surreal, I think, to translate well into film. That's just what I feel.
You know, I was trying to draw a comparison to something, to a film that may have been made already that's a bit kind of
The Fountain.
But surreal. No, see, I don't know that I would go so far as The Fountain, because I kind of thought The Fountain was a little bit convoluted. I thought that story was kind of weak, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, I liked the movie. It
right.
was visually stunning.
Right.
But really, the story was kind of,
eh.
You know, Neil Gaiman's story for American Gods is fantastic. It's actually one of my favorites that he's written.
Right.
Fight Club is the one that came to mind. Only because I think Fight Club is a little surreal. It's a little heady.
I think American Gods is far and away
yes,
a different.
It's, it
thing.
It's more heady than that is, for sure.
Right.
It's definitely a bit weirder than Fight Club.
Okay.
But that was the only thing that I could really think of. I'm not saying that. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess I'd have to see. I mean, okay. I guess it's going to have to be one of those, if it happens, we'll judge it when it happens.
Gotcha.
Certainly not my first pick for a Gaiman film. I wouldn't even pick Sandman or Death, to be honest with you. I'd go Good Omens.
Good Omens.
Neverwhere.
Neverwhere has been done as a TV show.
Right. TV show first.
Yeah.
Novel after.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman not pleased with the TV show, which
no, but
kind
he was
spurred him to write the book.
But he was pleased with the comic adaptation.
He was.
That came out about 4 years ago now, I think.
The reason I think Neverwhere would work, the reason I always bring up Neverwhere is because Neverwhere kind of has this real fantastical kind of fantasy aspect to it that is really very hip these days.
Yeah, it's tangible.
In Hollywood. You know what I mean? And I think that it would work very well with the current audience, even not knowing Gaiman. It's just a good, solid story for that kind of thing. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that American Gods is my first pick.
And we already had one Neil Gaiman movie.
Coraline?
Technically three. But, no, I was referring to the live action. Mirror Mask.
Mirror Mask.
Was that live action?
Was live action.
I wasn't even referring to that one. I was referring to Stardust.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought was terrific.
Stardust. I actually think in some ways that the movie was better than the book.
In some ways. And Coraline was terrific also.
Coraline was amazing. Yeah. Coraline was a fantastic adaptation.
So it's not that he can't translate. I just think it's questionable about which pieces can translate.
All right. X-Men. Fox already has treatments for and is anticipating X-Men 4 and 5.
Uh-huh.
Now, I say X-Men 4 and 5 because apparently it's supposed to take place after Last Stand.
Okay, that
so
makes sense.
So First Class they're using as a lead into the franchise.
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to pick up with where Last Stand left off.
Gotcha.
I'm only surprised by that because I really thought that end of the spectrum was kind of dead.
Nope.
And that the likelihood would be that they would reboot the series before they would continue it. As shitty as Last Stand was.
And it was.
It was terrible. I'm kind of okay with them moving forward because that allows them to use some of the elements that did really work in the first two, and there were some things that worked in the third one, to build upon and launch
forward. Halle Berry did not capitalize on her Oscar for having sex with Billy Bob Thornton by doing anything worthwhile, so she would be looking for work. And there's nobody in that film that's really doing any... What's Femke Janssen doing? What's any of them doing?
James Marsden, he's going to be Larry.
Well, I mean, besides James Marsden, who he's doing every opportunity, every film that they throw at him. And he's dead anyway in that continuity.
You know what? It would be a great opportunity to really maximize some characters that either have gotten looked over or disappeared. Like, who wouldn't want to see Nightcrawler come back? Who wouldn't want to see Angel's character flushed out a little bit better? Colossus, perhaps. I mean, there is a lot of groundwork that was laid in those movies.
Ellen Page.
That's what I'm saying.
Think she's gay?
I don't know.
I think she is.
Deadpool.
Uh-huh.
An R-rated comedy.
Yeah.
Is what Fox is saying.
Yeah.
They're saying that they're kind of going to be dismissing a lot of what took place in Origins.
Unbelievable.
But, you know, I want to interpret that as they're going to go with the whole alternate ending, Deadpool is still alive angle. So they're not really dismissing it so much as they're just going to confirm that what you saw in Origins was actually Weapon 13.
Was not actually Wade. Right.
And they're saying that, you know, you're going to see various forms of Wade. Pretty Wade, scarred up, fucked up face Wade.
Uh-huh.
Look, R-rated comedy for Deadpool, is the way to go. I mean, you mix a couple of good action sequences in there. Ryan Reynolds gives his take to it.
Hey, I saw Kill Bill. That was an R-rated comedy, as far as I'm concerned.
Are we calling that an R-rated comedy?
I am, because that shit was funny.
All right. I have one more thing.
Inglourious Bastards.
All right, I have two more things before
R-rated comedy.
Before we move on.
Okay.
Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye cameo is confirmed for Thor, and it's not just a cameo. We don't know what it is, but apparently it's a bigger role than just a cameo.
Okay.
We were kind of anticipating that he might be a link into...
Avengers.
And apparently it's going to be more than just a link. So I don't know what capacity that is, but we'll see in like a month because that movie's around the corner. All right. I saved this one for last because I probably figured it would piss you off the most. Warner Brothers.
What a great idea.
Warner Brothers will reboot the Batman franchise after The Dark Knight Rises.
So stupid.
Warner Brothers president Jeff Robinoff hinted that there's a JLA movie in the works, which we're not entirely surprised by.
Also stupid.
Of course it is. And
However, let me stop you there. Let's take these one at a time. However, if the new Superman is a good flick,
then it works.
Then there's possibilities.
Well, let's put it this way. If the new Superman is a good flick, and they reboot Batman,
Right.
You have the building blocks.
Reboot Batman is
because
absolutely...
Christian Bale would not go back for a JLA movie, I don't think.
Well, you never know. Money talks, sir.
That being said, Jeff Robinoff said that The Dark Knight, the Batman franchise, is going to be rebooted after Dark Knight Rises is released.
So stupid.
Christopher Nolan is going to stay on board as a producer. But
then why reboot?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. That's it? They're not saying anything else? What the reboot might entail?
No, I think that...
I mean, reboot could be as simple as Nolan's not directing and Christian Bale's out.
Right. See, I'd rather they take the Gotham that Nolan has developed and recast Batman and just move forward. I mean, I don't understand why you need to reboot it. I mean...
You don't.
Clearly, you don't need to... Clearly, no one wants to... Well, I shouldn't say no one. Clearly, a lot of people would not want to see Bale go.
Who wants to see Bale go?
Well, those people that bitched that he had the dumb voice in the second one. Shut up. All those haters that... All those geek mudgeons out there.
Looking for something to fucking hate.
But clearly, Nolan has presented us with what could be the best... adaptation of Gotham outside of the books that we've ever seen. Why not take that world with established villains, characters, etc., and just run with it?
Well,
I don't want to see another Joker.
Here's what we're doing. Nolan has now become the architect,
correct,
of the DC Warner Brothers film universe. More or less.
He is involved in Superman, right?
He is, yeah. Superman?
Yeah, he's producing, right?
Okay. Yeah. He's not involved, to my knowledge, in the Green Lantern movie.
That is correct.
So they might keep that at arm's length for the time being. However, if they're moving towards a JLA picture, and now Nolan is producing the Batman reboot, so clearly, if they're rebooting Batman, they're rebooting Superman.
He's the architect.
They're doing these things to get them towards the goal of having a JLA movie.
Right.
Now, assuming that's the case, I think what you'll see is he'll start to have more involvement in other franchises like Green Lantern and like some of the other ones we know are coming up. Not Wonder Woman, because that's a TV show.
Correct.
And so how are they going to make that work? But looking around here in Studio A, right up there we have the original seven. Who haven't we touched?
All Flash. Of them. Flash, which we hear is in the works.
Is in the works. Wonder Woman's a TV show.
Aquaman and Martian Manhunter,
which I'm sure they could cut out of the mix for probably something easier. You know, some
Green Arrow,
yes.
Just saying.
Okay. The point being is that I think it's clear that Warner Brothers is trying to go in a direction, and I think they want Chris Nolan to lead them that way.
And really, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I'm just not okay with the reboot.
No, me either. It's kind of stupid.
But with all of that being said, I think it's time we take our first break.
Okay.
For Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 225. Fraud?
Yes, it's fraud. Very good, sir.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, hey, hey. This is Haywood Nelson, Dwayne from What's Happening.
And this is Danielle Spencer, D from What's Happening.
Hey, and this is Ernest Thomas, better known as Raj from What's Happening. And you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 225, Fraud.
Yep, that's true.
Don't forget, of course, if you'd like to comment on anything that we discussed in the first segment of the show.
Or any segment.
Or if you have a question that you want to ask, you want to hear us answer in a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can leave us a voicemail at 425-920-6050. Of course, you can comment over at the message boards. We've got a great community going on over there. You can drop us an email, bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the Facebook page. All those good things.
Oh, yeah. It's a veritable cornucopia of ways to interact with this program.
Geek Stuff. DVD news.
DVDs this week.
Yes.
There are a handful that we have to mention. A
couple.
Tangled out on DVD this week.
Of course,
is Who did the female voice in Tangled? I know it was Zachary Levi. Chuck, for those of you who don't know. Who did the lead male? But I don't remember who did the Rapunzel in this.
I believe that was Mandy Moore, sir.
Yes, yes, that is correct. It was Mandy Moore. So yes, Disney. This is Disney. This is not Pixar. Of course, it's their first take on the Rapunzel character. I don't think they've done her before.
No.
So I hear nothing but good things about it.
Her
was
really
be picking
funny.
It up.
You can, and this is one actually. Is this? I don't know if this is the first one they're offering a Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray, regular DVD, digital copy combo pack. That would be a four-pack, sir.
Wow, that's epic.
Yeah. I did not get that, even though I have a 3D TV.
Right.
Because I just don't care.
I understand. I probably won't get that one either.
I'm hoping to have obtained a 3D projector by the time Star Wars 3D comes out on DVD.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping.
Okay.
We'll
fair
see
enough.
We'll see if that happens.
You know, speaking of Star Wars 3,
yeah.
I'll save it.
Okay.
Black Swan out on DVD this week.
Yes, Black
Swan.
Have
you followed all the controversy
about
Black Swan this
about
week?
The body doubles and all that?
80%, 90%. Who gives a shit?
You know who gives a shit? That woman.
That crazy bitch.
Because
that's the only one.
All she wants is recognition for the stuff that she did in the thing. But you know what? It's like anybody who is a body double for somebody who then after the movie is a huge success and Natalie Portman wins an Oscar, you know, she didn't win. She says she won the Oscar because she learned all this dancing in a year. She didn't win the Oscar because of that. She won the Oscar because it was a terrific performance overall, not because she learned to dance.
Look. Tom Cruise doesn't thank his stunt doubles. You mean like it's just no one?
Yeah, yeah.
This woman is essentially a stunt double. I hate to say it, but that's what she
is. That's what she is. And she should shut her mouth and be happy she was part of the project.
Exactly.
Except, you know, instead of wanting all this praise and recognition, shut your mouth.
And she just wants to badmouth Natalie Portman. Now, look, I'm not a huge Natalie Portman fan, but this woman is just off her rocker.
I don't know. I think Natalie Portman's fine.
Anyway.
Point is, it's a Darren Aronofsky film. It's really heady and trippy. You should check it out. There's terrific scenes in it with Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis, and I'm going to leave it at that. And, yeah, definitely check that out.
Okay, those were the two big new ones this week. But there's a couple of things I wanted to mention that came out. Four in particular.
Okay. Four.
This only because of it, the epicness of it all.
I know.
The
Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Out on Blu-ray. Uh-huh. And then there's like a huge-ass gift set, too.
Oh, really? What's in the gift set?
The gift set includes the Blu-ray version of the movie.
Uh-huh.
It also includes a new hour-long documentary on the making of the movie. Newsreel footage from the world premiere in New York.
Okay, you've already
a photo gallery
me.
Book.
Okay, I'm done.
There's just a bunch of shit. It's a huge box.
No need.
No, but that being said, it is out this week. If
and
you're a fan of that movie, and it's a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic. So
religious
definitely...
or not, I mean, it is what it is.
No, it's a great movie. I actually like. I really am a big fan of the story. I like the Prince of Egypt version of the story myself. Because of the wonderful music and animation.
Rocky and Bullwinkle and Friends, the complete fifth season. We've pretty much mentioned every single season that's come out.
I don't understand why they haven't complete boxed this already.
You know, here's the funny thing. Until I saw that this came out this week, I thought that they did. And
I thought we talked about it on the show too.
Like 2 months ago.
Oh, well.
But, Dennis the Menace from 1959, season one.
Wow.
The original show out on DVD this week. I grew up on that show. I used to watch that show on for me, it was on Nickelodeon, but
it was part of it was on other things. It was on like Channel 11.
Yeah, I watched it. I think it was this, My Two
Sons.
On
the East Coast. Three
Sons, sorry. And something else on Nick that I would watch. But anyway, I actually think I might pick that up.
What the heck's his name?
That's nostalgia.
Jay something.
The kid that played Dennis the Menace?
The kid that played Dennis the Menace. He actually was a troubled child star and for a while. Actually, he used to do conventions. I've met him a couple times. The nicest guy, you know, now.
Jay North.
Yeah, that's it. I knew his name was Jay.
Okay, and one final thing out this week that we have to mention.
Uh-huh.
Happiness is a Warm Blanket, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
A brand new Peanuts animated movie.
Right. Focusing on Linus.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, things I noticed about this. I haven't seen it yet. I've only seen the packaging, and I've seen some of the images on the packaging. I kind of like that the animation still looks kind of rough.
Right, they've maintained the animation of Charlie Brown. Right, that's never been the issue. The issue with Charlie Brown animation has always been the same. The voices... never, ever, ever sound similar, ever.
Not even on those early ones?
No!
Because they were like, it was Your Good Man Charlie Brown, Snoopy Come Home, and...
Tons before that. Christmas. Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving.
But what I mean
Great
is...
Great Pumpkin.
They were never the same? Maybe once or twice.
Maybe once or twice, but it's just so jarringly... you know, like different sometimes that it's like, wow, that's like a totally different person.
I don't know.
And South Park makes the best joke about it in one of its early episodes by going, and how come everyone in Charlie Brown cartoons talks like this? And it's because they used to tape those kids straight through and then assemble the best parts of their delivery. I'm sure that's gone, by the way.
You know, I think I'll probably still check this out.
Oh, I'm definitely picking this up.
I don't know that I'm going to run out and buy it. I might try to Netflix it and see if I...
Really? Is that what you call it now, when you steal it?
No, I legitimately Netflix it.
Yeah, I understand.
No, I only steal on occasion.
I see.
Listen, criminal. If you have content and you're not going to make it available to me to watch online, CBS, then I'm going to steal it. I'm just saying.
CBS.
Look, CBS is like the only channel that isn't on Hulu.
Yeah, I wonder.
So if for some reason I miss an episode of Big Bang, my DVR doesn't record or something, there's a conflict, and I want to watch Big Bang, because who doesn't?
Right.
You know, there are resources.
Okay.
Just saying.
A lot of terrific shows, we have to say, before we cut out of the DVD. It reminds me, the United States of Tara just started its third season, I think.
Oh, yeah? I've never watched that show.
It's a really great show. But coming up in April, of course, we really have to mention this. It's A Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Coming to HBO, and man, does it look awesome.
You know, on Friends of the Show, October Toys, Toy Break, I think it was either their last episode or two episodes back, they actually did an interview with a guy who is doing product.
Oh, yeah?
He had the license to do product based on the book.
Okay.
But a lot of the stuff is like spot on for the show, and I could be completely wrong. So George Aileen or Crack It or somebody out there that I know listens to both shows, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he said that he might be doing some new stuff as well.
Oh.
So if you are a fan of those books, if you think you're going to be a fan of the TV show that looks like it's going to be amazing.
It looks fantastic.
It's good to know that someone out there is likely going to have some product at some point. So.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Yes.
To check out this week. Only a pair of regular old comics.
I got a couple too.
Oh, you do? Oh, uh-huh. Well, OG contributing. Green Hornet Year One, number 9.
Oh, dolly goody.
Well, you should really like this one, sir.
Is it the last one?
It's Matt Wagner writing it.
Oh, shit.
And Aaron Campbell. Yeah, that's right. Swallow that, OG.
Damn. I like the Matt Wagner. Big, giant, I mean, I'm not going to read it, but it's good to know that he's contributing to the franchise.
Big slice of humble pie.
Nope.
And no, there's no word yet whether this is next one. No, there's
like
definitely
my humble pie with a pink notice.
They've actually they've stated there is an issue 10, but like we've said, I think the clock is ticking.
Tick tock.
And we have to mention this, the 70th anniversary issue of Captain America.
Oh.
It's Cap 616. This book literally weighs like 2 pounds. Gonna run you $4.99 from Marvel. I think it's a bunch of different stories by different artists and creators, and I'm correct. It's looks like 8 different stories. You got a ton of people in here. Howard Chaykin wrote and drew one. Ed Brubaker wrote a couple. Travis Cherist. So many different people. You're actually going to really enjoy this. Of course, Captain America created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, all those 70 years ago. I can't believe it's been 70 years. Do you remember our interview with Joe Simon that I did at that con?
Yeah, that was
Philly?
Big Apple Con, wasn't it?
I thought it,
it
was Philly.
No, wasn't that the one?
Oh, it was on the pier.
It was the one on the pier.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, if you're a Cap fan, if you're not a Cap fan, you're going to want to check this out because it is a really nice, how would you put it? A very nice tribute to 70 years of Captain America. Am I noticing this correct? I have to just take a moment and find out if this is correct. It looks to me like I am correct. There is one of the stories is called Operation Tooth Fairy. It's written by Mike Benson, and the artist is Paul Grist, who is the guy who does Marvel sort of pseudo parody books,
right?
Jack Staff,
nice,
which features a lot of characters that are very similar to Marvel characters. Just another reason to check out this book, having him in here. Anyway, check that out from Marvel. It's the Captain America 616, the 70th anniversary issue.
All right.
And one trade. Oh, you have some.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, OG, I'm so sorry. I forgot you had some. Go ahead, sir.
Two I just want to mention quickly. American Vampire number 13 out this week, of course.
Eh.
If you're not following this book, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Following it in
really
trade format.
Really is a good book. Yes.
I'm pulling an OG with that.
Of course, launching what we know is going to be a Dollhouse comic book series. Dollhouse Epitaphs one-shot is out this week. And the reason why you might be interested in this, Kev, is because I believe that it follows Felicia Day's character from the show Dollhouse. Mm-hmm.
Felicia.
You done her?
You ever just look into her eyes?
Yeah.
It's like the first time I opened a Christmas present.
Can we? Look, I got a little something for you.
Oh, sorry, I'm sorry. I just get lost sometimes.
Exactly.
Anyway, one trade to check out this week, and that is the Bloom County: The Complete Library, Volume 4, by Berkeley Breathe. And I have to say, if you've never read Bloom County, it is one of the best comic strips ever written, in my opinion. So happy, so very happy that IDW has found Berkeley Breathe and forced him at gunpoint to do these books. Volume 4 covers 1986 to 1987. You may recall last week we talked about the Complete Peanuts. OG, do you recall that? And that's kind of that's kind of the love I have for Peanuts is the same love that I have for the collections of Bloom County. This one's going to run you $39.99. It's really nice and big, sir. And you're actually getting the Sunday colors in here. It's three strips per page. And you get, OG, if you can possibly believe it, you get over 275 pages of content in this wonderful volume 4. Perfect.
Pretty epic.
Yeah, it is. And it's perfect for your library. You must check it out. This one especially, this is the this is when they formed the band called Death Tongue. And it's absolutely some of the best stuff ever, I have to say. So check that out. You can check out IDWpublishing.com, spelled I, letter D, letter W, publishing.com to get more information about that. And it also says on here, the Library of American Comics.
Oh, well, isn't that fancy?
Do they have a hand in this as well, maybe? In any event, you definitely got to check this out. I'm just checking to see who did the introduction to this. By Craig Mazin. I don't know who Craig Mazin is.
I also do not know who that person is.
Okay. Well, whoever it is, he did a nice introduction here from Thailand, apparently. Huh. Well, in any event, checked out Bloom County Complete Library Volume 4.
Geek Stuff. Product reviews.
Product. OG, I got one to talk about really quick, and then you wanted to mention one of our little jaunt adventures.
I did.
Correct? Let me just say then, from Medicom, that's Medicom, OG, since I know how to pronounce it. I know how to pronounce it. This is the from their Kubrick line. This is Tron Daft Punk. Tron Legacy Daft Punk figures from Kubrick. The Kubrick styling, I should say. It's a pair of figures. Everybody, I think, has seen these at this point.
Sure.
What Daft Punk looked like in the movie. And these are basically two little Kubricks that represent those characters. I think they're really great. Guy Manuel de Onem Cristo and Thomas Bangalter, yeah. I guess that's who Daft Punk is? Guy Manuel de Hamem Cristo?
If you say so. I'm going to believe you.
That's the name on the box.
I'm going with you.
Anyway, they're really great. Kubrick's, as you know, are really very stylized figure that they do a lot of different sort of properties with. And this one's no different. Tron fans are not in short supply with regards to product, and this is even yet another piece of product coming from Japan about Tron. So check it out. These are the Tron Daft Punk, Tron Legacy Daft Punk Kubricks. Where did we go, OG?
We went to, over the weekend,
uh-huh,
to a store that neither of us knew existed.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Suburban Vinyl in Hawthorne, New Jersey. So
right,
practically in our backyard.
Practically.
Great little vinyl store.
Yeah, nice.
You know? And the reason we went is because in addition to being a great little store, he's got some gallery space.
Uh-huh.
He's got people coming through there.
And who did we met the fella?
We did. We actually, this was an evening with Jeremiah Kettner.
Right.
Who does some awesome paintings. It was on painting on woodblock, I believe, was right, the medium for the paintings. And then he had some custom toys and stuff that he did, too. Of course, all those pictures from the show, they'll be in our feed and in the photo gallery.
Right.
And whatnot. But yeah, really nice guy. Great space. We got to see our friend J-Roo over there.
J-Roo.
Hung out with him for a while and chatted. You know, one of the nicest guys.
He is. And he actually helped me come up with my my vinyl artist name.
Oh, that's right. What was it?
Oh, no. Don't give it away. Someone's going to steal it. I'm
going to
edit. There's going to be edit beeps in
there. Beep.
You are not giving away my artist name.
Oh,
what if I become like the next Bansky? Banksy.
There
Banksy.
You go.
What if I become like the next Banksy?
Uh-huh.
And I want to keep my anonymity.
Uh-huh.
And you give away my artist name. We actually asked J.Ru at that thing if he was Banksy.
We did.
So he of course denied that he was Banksy. So
he did deny.
And if he was Banksy, he would have denied it anyway. So,
but yeah, the artwork of Jeremiah Kettner, some really really awesome stuff. I mean, the guy's got a fantastic style. I know I bought a print. I believe you bought a print.
I did buy a print. Yes.
So you know, it was a good time. We got to hang out with some friends.
Nice.
Again, a great shop. He's got some more artists lined up for the summer.
Oh, awesome.
You know, one of which whom I did not realize at the time of the show. I actually own a toy by one of those persons.
Oh, yes?
So I will be bringing that with me, of course.
Who's the artist?
Spleet.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
we talked to him for a little bit, too.
He
was actually
there
that night, kind of wandering around. He's got a show coming up in May or June, I believe.
Okay.
And he actually did a Gwyn
for
series... Three?
Was it the Rabbit Gwyn?
It was the Rabbit Gwyn,
uh-huh.
And I have that Gwyn.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
So I will be attending that event at the very least to get that signed.
Terrific.
But again, to hang out at the shop, you know, anytime I can go see some good art, some nice vinyl, get a beer,
I'm there.
I'm down.
I hear you.
I'm sold. Even the misses came.
I know.
Both YVs came. Some friends came. It was a good time.
It was a nice time, yes.
So, Suburban Vinyl in Hawthorne, New Jersey. If you're a local yokel. Yeah,
No, don't give it out. They got a website. Let them pay to advertise.
Oh, that's terrible.
You can Google it.
You can Google it.
Not giving things away here. What is this?
I don't know. I was fine, whatever.
And, you know, he can advertise like everybody else up in here.
I think we should take a break.
And we will, and we'll be right back with your wrap-up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 225, Fraud. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
Why don't you have an opinion?
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. inhislikeness.com.
Hello, nurse. This is Yakko
and Wacko from Animaniacs, and you're listening to
Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Keep him tuned in.
Yeah, because if you don't, he'll kill you.
Yeah, he is really big, folks. We're looking at him. It's scary.
We're Animaniacs, totally insane-y, Pinky and the Brainy. Animaniacs, those are the facts.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 225, Fraud.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast?
Batman getting rebooted?
Batman.
Question mark. Hawkeye appears in Thor. We also talked about Amy Adams cast as Lois Lane. X-Men 4 and 5 and Deadpool, the R-rated comedy.
Oodalali.
We also talked, of course, about Rob Granito.
Uh-huh.
The fraudulent Fraudy McFrauderson, who was escorted by Sheriff Wade and Deputy Van Sciver
right.
this past weekend at MegaCon in Florida. And I think that was it in our news segment.
It is. In the second segment tonight, we talked about some DVDs.
Of course, those were Tangled. Black Swan came out this week. Dennis the Menace Season 1 from 1959. The Ten Commandments Special Edition. Happiness is a Warm Blanket, Charlie Brown.
Uh-huh. All very good ones. And then we went on to talk about some comics. We recommended Cap 616, the big 70th anniversary issue.
Yes.
The OG recommendation, Green Hornet Year 1 by Matt Wagner and Aaron Campbell. Green Hornet Year 1, number 9, I should say, from our friends at Dynamite. And from IDW Publishing, it's Bloom County, The Complete Library, Volume 4, 1986 to 1987 by Berkeley Breathed. Absolutely a fantastic book. And then lastly, tonight we talked in our product segment about the brand new Tron Legacy Daft Punk Kubricks from Medicom. That's Medicom. And OG mentioned that we had a little trip to Suburban Vinyl in Hawthorne, New Jersey. Look for upcoming ads from them on this program. And that's about it, OG.
Yeah, I think that's it. So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes of the podcast, as well as photo galleries, links to our message boards. We have some studio Vs, although no new ones recently, but
they're coming
down the pipeline.
Yeah, they're coming.
Of course, you can check us out over at Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Over at Twitter, at BKGeekStuff. Of course, I'm over there as well, at GeekStuffOG.
Right.
And the GVM line, 425-920-6050, if you want to contact the show. And maybe you'll hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kids Geek Stuff.
Indeed you will. And with that, OG, I will end this podcast, as we end all Big Kev's Geek Stuff podcasts, by saying good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree. By caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea. Roads go ever, ever on, under cloud and under star. Yet feet that wandering have gone will turn at last to home afar. Over snow by winter sown, and through the merry flowers of June, over grass and over stone, under the mountains in the moon. Roads go ever, ever on, over rock and under tree, by caves where never sun has shone, by streams that never find the sea.